would like to ask this morning before we go any further in the service, if somebody has anything on their hearts they just feel like needs to be said or done. If not, then we'll go and then do that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts. If you got your Bibles and you want to follow along with us, turn with us to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. That's Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to start with verse 25. And we are going to read until the end of the chapter. So Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. Jesus was doing the speaking, and he said, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, taking no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And we're going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And if you would, please bow your heads with us. Our most kind and gracious and all-wise Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have, Lord, to stand and to share with others the gospel. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace that you have bestowed upon us in our life. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the reading of it. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless it, that it be for our good and for our benefit, and that it would be for your honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd free up our hearts and minds this morning and fill us up with your Spirit. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would just get all honor and glory out of the service this morning. Amen. My main thought this morning is going to be out of the 33rd verse, where it says, where Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." If there was a thought that I had to place for this sermon this morning, it would be seeking God. And I was trying to study and pray this week, and I've passed by the 33rd verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew so many times, I could almost quote it to you by memory. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And you know, as I was reading this past week, there was something in my heart that said there's just a little bit more than that. Start digging. And I would find myself, I would go to bed and I couldn't even sleep because of the thought. I would wake up early in the morning and would try to study this. And I don't even know if my studies have got me anywhere, but we're going to try to express that what the Lord has laid on our hearts. But you see, I do understand there's one thing about us being God's people that we do need to do, and that's seeking God. We need to seek His will and what He wants done for us. Not only in the service on Sunday mornings and Sunday evening, but throughout our week. That when we wake up, we ask God, what is your will? To seek God in everything that we do. Because I don't think that serving God should just be, and I've said this plenty of times, it should just be something we do on Sunday morning. And this was something that's been on my heart this past week, and I guess being at the association confirmed it because it's what all we talked about. But I want to tell you folks this morning, with all the love that I have for Friendship Church, just because you go in the house of God does not mean you're working for God. Just because you come in on Sunday mornings does not mean you're being a light in this world. Yes, it is proper and it is our duty as God's people, those that He has saved and members of His church, that we come in together, come in and praise His name. But folks, there needs to be some praising outside of these doors. There needs to be some seeking outside of this service. That when we come home and before we come back tonight for Brother Scott to preach tonight, you know, that we would get in our prayer closet and say, God, what is it that you would have me to do? Amen. And let me tell you this, I'm not trying to tell anybody I'm the perfect servant. God knows I'm not. There's been many mistakes that I've made and many downfalls. But you know, God has been faithful to me through it all. God has showed me through it all that He is the one that I need more than anything else in my life. You know, and there's some hardships that go about our ways, and we think, well, why did God, if He was so loving, why would He throw us in the fire? Why would He throw us in this hardship? Why would He throw us into the mud pit to just be spat upon? But folks, I tell you that the hardest times in my life is when I was bowed upon, when at the end of the day, I bowed upon my knees and said, God, I need you. I need you. See, I was thinking about this past week. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. My heart was compelled to go into the Strong's Concordance and look up the Greek words and their meanings. And I prayed this whole week, God, I don't want to mistranslate this or misinterpret it. But here's what I had found out. It's, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That word seek means desire. Desire the kingdom of God. That word kingdom means sovereign, means royal, His supreme power and His authority. Desire God's power, desiring His authority. And that word righteousness means God's character and what He has told us to obey. Desiring God's rule, desiring His rule for our life, that we could obey His voice. Folks, let me tell you this, there's nothing I desire more in my life
and to please God. And I mean that. I really do. I've got a wife that's home right now. She's heartbroken. And see, I know that she wishes she could be here. And you know, and I love her to death. But let me tell you, my heart's desire is to please God. My heart's desire is to seek Him. My heart's desire is to take care of the things and the responsibilities that He has placed in my life. But it's not just that. I found out whenever you desire God and you desire His will to be done, that His will then becomes your will. Do you notice that? What God desires, if you really seek after Him, if you really get close enough to Him, what God wants then becomes what you want. And you know what I found out, searching through the Scriptures and praying and trying my very best in my weak and feeble way to get as close to Him as I can. You know what I've experienced, what He really desires more than anything. The Bible says that it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, let me tell you this morning, we shouldn't be coming to church just to play church. And I think it's time that we stop playing church. I really do. I think it's time to this morning, folks, that we get down on our knees, bow on our faces, and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen? Okay. That we seek God's will. Now, this morning, as I started thinking about this and trying to drive over here, I was starting to think, well, Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God. How do we get to where we can seek first what God wants? Seek Him. Well, I know 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 has been repeated ever since COVID came out. Let me tell you, ever since COVID happened last year, you know, that's all I could find on Facebook was 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. But I started to think, if people really knew and understood what that verse of Scripture means. See, the Bible tells us 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Well, I'm going to go there so that way I don't mess it up. But it tells us there that if my people, which, now listen to this. He said, if my people, he didn't just say any people. He said, if my people, if God's people, those who have this personal, intimate relationship with God, who has been born again by the Spirit, if my people, which are called by my name, they shall humble themselves. Folks, we need to realize our place in God's service. And I'm not trying to knock anybody down, but if you're up high and you think you're on a pedestal this morning, folks, I think it's time that you get knocked off that pedestal. Pride is something that will stand not only in a lost individual's way, but it'll stand in the people of God's way. Matter of fact, pride is actually one of the sins that Solomon lists that God just dreadfully hates. But we read, he said, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek and desire my face. And desire my face and just turn from their wicked, wicked, wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Folks, I don't, and I'm not trying to say this to be smart or nothing, but I don't have to turn on the news to tell each and every one of you that our country is in a bad shape. Amen. I don't think it should take a newspaper article to tell you that our communities are in a terrible shape. We've seen stuff, not just abortion or homosexuality come in and destroy communities, but stuff like drugs and people get it on them. We've seen Satan come in and really destroy communities. And not only that, but we have gotten ourselves in a place as the people of God to where we're just merely afraid to say anything about God to anybody. I'm being honest with you. Either we're afraid of it or we really don't desire to speak about God. And I'm just being honest. Now, some might say, well, now, Brother Barber, if God ever lays it on my heart to tell anybody about Jesus, I will do it. Folks, we've already been given that commandment to go out and tell people about Jesus. It shouldn't have to take God throwing you out of your bench to do it. But I'm here to tell you, we've lost track of what our job is. I think sometimes that I'm just this big, mighty man that nothing can knock me down, and then the next thing I know, God knocks me down to size. If you really desire to seek after God and to worship Him, you need to get pride out of the way. But you know, I was thinking this week as I was studying this about our jobs, about seeking after Him. See, our job is not to be the light. Why? Because Jesus already said that He was the true light of this world. But in John chapter 1, and I believe that it was verse 8, it was telling us there about John the Baptist, and the Bible says that He was not that light. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you're not that light, neither am I. There's nothing about me that can save anybody. But it says that He was sent to bear witness of that light. We are sent this morning to bear witness of the light, which is Jesus Christ. See, sort of like a moon. See, the moon, the only reason why we're able to see the moon is because it reflects light off the sun. We need to reflect the light of Jesus Christ in the community that Friendship Church has been put in. See, this is our responsibility. The people out there traveling in Bartholomew County, this is our responsibility. Their lost souls is our responsibility to seek after. You know, and the Bible tells us, but the church covenant tells us that we are to seek after, and we are to seek after the salvation of our kindred and our acquaintances. And you might say, well now, preacher, everybody in my family, by their testimony, has been saved by the grace of God. Well, God bless you for that. But you know, it's not just your kindred you need to be worried about. God has made us a member of this church. Amen. So you know what? Brothers and sisters, I need to seek out the salvation of your kindred. You need to seek out the salvation of my kindred. We need to seek out the salvation of each other's family. But not just that, but even the people, the very same people that we work with on a day-to-day basis. That we are to be that light. We're not to be that light, but to bear witness of that light. To reflect Jesus in everything
that we do.
And in order for us to do that, remember what that word seek is. We have to desire. We have to desire God in our lives. You see, and you might say, well, now God has already saved my soul. Thankful for that. Praise God for that. Well, let me tell you, He doesn't just need to be our Savior. He needs to be the master and ruler of our lives. The Bible, which we uphold in its doctrines and its teachings, everything that we do or say needs to be backed up by nothing else except the Word of God. Something that we need to stand for and stand upon. See, this verse of Scripture came to my mind. You know, Brother Dale, last week as he preached our homecoming, he started talking about the history of Friendship Church and the brothers who really had an impact on Friendship and the growth that she had. Folks, let me tell you this, so God still wants to grow Friendship Church. We have to desire that same thing. God still wants people to come into Friendship Church and be saved. But we have to desire that same thing. But you see, I was thinking, as what Brother Dale was preaching last week, as he was talking about the history of the church and the people that had an impact. And I know some of you who have grown up in this church from a young and early age, you probably could remember some of the brethren that's named up here on the walls as the former pastors. And no doubt, a lot of them had an impact on your life. There's a lot of people in all my pastors that I've had that God has blessed me with, and people who God has allowed me to cross paths with in my life, they have had an impact. And let me tell you this, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, when it starts it out, it just got done with the chapter of faith, talking about Noah building the ark, but yet never seen rain. Talking about Abraham, God told him to go search for a country, and yet Abraham didn't know what quite he was looking for, but he got his wife, he got his family, and he said, we're trying to find a city whose builder and maker is God. And they even considered themselves, the very same people consider themselves pilgrims in this land. And we talk about Enoch. And Enoch, back in Genesis, after he begat Methuselah, started walking with God. And all of a sudden, after about 300 and so years of walking with God, the Bible didn't say that Enoch died. The Bible said God took him. And it talked about all these other people. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Moses, the Bible says that he chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God instead of enjoying sin for just a season. And that's all it is, folks. You can go out here and enjoy the pleasures of this life and enjoy and engulf yourself in sin and try to fill whatever void that you have in your heart, but it'll only last for a season. But you know, it gets done with this chapter. And in the 12th chapter, the writer starts off, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, so great of a people that has gone and worked before us, that has left this example of being faithful to God. Folks, I'm sure you can think right now and think of some people who've left that example in your life that you recall. Friendship Church has come past with so great a cloud of witnesses from its history. I started thinking about my life, and I started writing down a bunch of names that really had an impact on my life, and I started writing them down. I'm so great compassed so great with a cloud of witnesses, folks, that have shown me that if you had just stayed faithful to God, being a pilgrim and a traveler on this earth, God will get all honor and glory, and God will bless tenfold over it. Will bless His people tenfold over it. But folks, it starts with us having that desire. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that just so easily besets us, that just easily gets in our way. Folks, is there something in this life that easily gets in your way as you're trying to run this race for God? If there is, lay it aside. Get it out. We've got so much out there to lose. I passed by Isaiah a couple months ago, and Isaiah never left my heart whenever he said, hell enlarges herself daily. Folks, if that does not scare you and put a fire underneath you, then I don't know what will. I'm not trying to start nothing this morning. But I'm telling you, folks, as we are here in this present day and time that God has placed us in, we see that there's so many discouraging things out there in this life that can so easily beset us and hinder us from the walk that God would have us to walk. But folks, I'm telling you this morning, there is lost souls that is on the line. And we need to be worried about them. If you're not worried about your kindred and acquaintances, then somebody here needs to be. If you don't have a burden for them, I pray you ask God for a burden. See, folks, my desire for the last 6 months, I guess, I don't know. But I just want to see revival amongst God's people. Amen. 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 I want to see revival. And what does that mean? A great awakening that just happens deep within our spirits, that God just stirs us to move. And I know what? This is September, October, November. We're going to have officer elections. And I guess that's when we're going to elect who's going to help in our annual June revival. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, and I'm not against having a set June revival, but I'm here to tell you this morning, we don't need to put a time on God.
Amen.
We need to let Him move. I think so many times we come in and I know I do, and I put a time on God. Well, God, if this ain't done by about 1:30, I'm going to be last in line at Cracker Barrel. I don't know if I can handle that. God, it's football season. God, if this goes past 1:30, I just missed the Pittsburgh Steelers football game. I don't know if I can handle that. And it's sad, but these are stuff that's popped in my mind in the past. Folks, let me tell you, God's will needs to become our will. His desire needs to become our desire. And if all this worldliness hinders us from that, get it out of the way. How do we witness revival amongst God's people? When we realize where we need to be with you. And I'm almost done. But John, as he was there in the second chapter, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. And brothers and sisters, I think that that is a great example to start off with, to start praying for. God, that I would decrease in my life and what I would have to do, that my will would decrease that everything about me just decreases, but that He would increase. That when I preach on Sunday mornings or whatever day I get to preach, that people don't see me, but they see the cross. That's what Paul's desire was. He said that I myself should just be a castaway. Folks, we need to be castaways before God. Just nothing, just out of the way. And if you're not in the will of God, this is a saying that I heard growing up. If you're not in the will of God, you're in the way of God. You're being a stumbling block. Folks, let us not be in the way of what God needs done. Are we seeking after God? Or are we seeking the pleasures of this life? Are we seeking after God, or are we seeking what I want done? I pray we seek after God. James tells us about prayer. He said, whenever you pray, you don't receive these things because you ask amiss. That word amiss means in a faulty manner, according to Webster 18 and 28. And I start thinking about the faulty manner there, and I start thinking about if I've ever prayed in a faulty manner. And folks, if we're honest, we can say that we all have prayed in a faulty manner. Because James goes on, he says, for you wish to consume all these things that you ask upon your own lusts. Not what God would want, but what your flesh wants. I'm done. I know this wasn't much. And I know it's quiet. But folks, let's seek God. Let's seek after the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let's seek after what He would want us to do. Not just this morning, but each and every day that He's given us. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get a song. Let us all stand and sing this morning. Oh.